Today, we're finishing out this I'm So Done series. We kicked it off with Pastor Jason talking about I'm so done not hearing God's voice. And then Pastor Lee McLeod from our Oregon Network office came, and he talked about I'm so done not receiving all the blessings God has for me. Last week, Pastor Cherie, woo, brought it home with, I'm so done being tired. I was so challenged by that message. I hope you were too. I was so challenged. The whole point of this series is for us to take this popular catchphrase, I'm so done. How many of you use that in your daily life? Like, I do too. I'm so done. So done with this. I use it a lot of times when I'm arguing with Jason. I'm so done with your attitude. Okay? I'm just being real. Okay? But we take this popular catchphrase, and then we tied it into a thing that people say they're struggling with in their faith journey and following Christ. And so today's message is this. I'm so done, I'm going back. I'm so done, I'm going back. Quite often in our journey with God, things get hard. Right? Things get hard. And we have this tendency to romanticize and over-exaggerate the past. Like, we have a tendency to remember the good things or the seemingly good things of the past and conveniently forget or downplay the negative things, right? Yet, right here in the present, we have a tendency to only focus on the negative that's going on right now. And we find it difficult to see anything positive in our situations. And our tendency to constantly look back sometimes causes us to go back. How many of you, can understand, and you're like, I get it. I've gone back a few times. Oh, some people are even, being brave, yeah, that's me. You don't have to, but, listen. I'm raising my hand. My tendency to look back has sometimes caused me to go back. And it kind of looks like this. I'm just going to tell you, you probably are going to want to listen to this message again on the podcast, because there's phrases that I put on here that I know Holy Spirit was just downloading to me as I was preparing for this message. Okay? So here's what it might sound like. You know, I had a lot of fun when I was partying every weekend. I'm going back. Forgetting that the way you felt the next morning with a horrible hangover and possibly lying next to a person that you really barely knew. Maybe you didn't even know him. You know, when I was with that person, I was not lonely. I'm going back. Forgetting that you walked on eggshells every day wondering if your actions were going to cause an emotional explosion. I'm hitting some nerves, aren't I? You know, when I was allowing fear and pride and arrogance and anger to protect me, I didn't have to do much work. I'm going back. Forgetting that you felt imprisoned, full of anxiety, and dead inside. Going back is allowing the cycle to start all over again. Going back allows the enemy to keep you from growing and moving forward and experiencing more of God. what I want you to know. I'm just going to move out of the way so you can see this. There's a difference between remembering and returning. Let me just say that one more time. There's a difference between remembering and returning. It's okay to occasionally remember where you came from. That's actually very good. It brings us into this place of thanksgiving and like gratitude to God for what he has walked us through. It's okay to remember the crud sometimes and be like, that's who I was and that's what I was doing. It's okay to remember that. It's okay to take time to reflect on your growth and verbally thank God for that journey. Because here's the truth about that. I'm just getting out of the way so you can see the next thing. We repeat what we don't remember. You don't remember it? You don't think about it? We repeat what we don't remember. If we don't go back in our minds, if we don't take time to recognize how God has brought us through some really crappy stuff, and we just think about all the great things that was happening, and we don't remember how awful we were walking at that moment, we repeat it. You go back. And so what causes us to move from remembering to returning? There's a big difference that goes from remembering to returning. What causes us to do that? Well, I think there's three big lies that the enemy uses to convince us it's better back there. It's better back there. Now, these are my words and the downloads that Holy Spirit gave me. They might be worded a little different for you, but the lie is the same lie all the same because he's not very creative. Okay? So, first lie. I know what to expect back there. I know what to expect. Let me give you a little story from history. Ancient history. Okay? Biblical history thousands of years ago. The Israelite nation had grown under the covering of the Egyptian nation. Okay? They had grown, they had become pretty large as they had gone to Egypt to escape death, really. They went to Egypt to escape a famine where there was no food. Egypt had food. Egypt kindly let them enter their nation. Egypt even gave them their own area of the country to be. But Israel grew. Their numbers grew. They became more numerous, or they were on the threat of becoming more numerous than the people of Egypt. So the king of Egypt had this wonderful idea. Let's turn them into slaves. Let's enslave them so that then they work for us. And they can't go anywhere. Let's beat them down so that they no longer even have they're not able to even make decisions on their own. Does this sound familiar? Let's beat them down so that they are completely surrendered to us. And then we don't have to worry about it. They'll never revolt. Right? But God. But God had other plans. And he talked to his man Moses, who had been born an Israelite, but then adopted into the house of Egypt. Right? And even though he was raised in royalty, still felt this tie to his people. Went outside one day and saw an Egyptian slave master beating one of his people. Got mad, killed the Egyptian slave master. Thought, and now the Israelites will think I'm wonderful. They didn't. They were afraid of him. And so he fled. He ran away. And he spends a number of years out in the desert, the wilderness, if you will, right? Tending sheep, getting married. And one day, God speaks to him in an encounter, and you're like, "What? How do you even know this? Go read the book of Exodus. Read the book of Exodus. It's all there, I promise, okay? It's there. God shows up, and he says, "Hey, Moses, I want you to return to Egypt. I want you to go to Pharaoh. I want you to tell him that I'm the God. I am God, Pharaoh. And you're going to let my people go." Listen, it wasn't that easy. Well, Moses had some things to say to God about that. He eventually did it. He was obedient. Read the book of Exodus, okay? Moses goes, shows up over, I don't know how long it took for Pharaoh to come to this decision. How many days, weeks, months? This went on. But over a period of time, Pharaoh finally decided, "I am not God, and he is more powerful than I am. Please take your people and leave my land." And so Moses is leading the people out of Egypt. And, okay, listen. Not only is he leading the people, but there's like supernatural signs that are happening. Like the spirit and presence of God is leading and is in front of these people during the day in the form of a cloud going, "Come follow me." And at night, his presence turns into a fire and goes behind them and protects them. I mean, this is like amazing stuff going on here, right? And he's leading them out of bondage. And here's what happens. They get up to the Red Sea. And they're like, "What are we going to do?" Pharaoh's army is behind them. They're like, "We just let all of our free labor out of our land, and now we're not going to do this work." And so they're coming after them. We're going to pull up Exodus 14, verses 10 through 12. We're going to read this from the New Living Translation. This is what happens. "As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them." Here it is, here it is, here it is. "They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, 'Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness.' I know what to expect back in Egypt. I know what's going to happen every day when I wake up. I'm going to be forced out into the fields. I'm going to have to make bricks for Pharaoh to continue building his empire. I'm probably going to get beat by the slave master because I'm not working enough. Then I'm going to go to bed. And then I'm going to wake up and I'm going to repeat it all over again. I know what to expect. And eventually I'll die and it'll be over. But I don't know what this looks like. I don't know what's in front of me. I know what to expect back there." Isn't it funny how control works? Right? Convincing us that the prison of the past is better because at least you know what to expect. Right? The same way, The same way an abusive partner convinces their victim to return to their arms. The devil tries to convince us to return to the past by romanticizing it in our minds. Listen, I was in tears as I was making this mess, preparing this message, as God just showed me, like, this is what it's like. This is what it's like. I know what to expect back there. Of course you do, because the devil is a liar, and he'll do anything to get you back into his arms one more time. Lie number two. This doesn't feel normal. This doesn't feel normal. Walking out of old habits and behaviors and patterns is uncomfy. Oh, it doesn't feel good. Well, of course it doesn't. Because we learned the wrong normal. We learned the wrong normal. So when we step out of something that seems normal, it's like, ugh, this doesn't feel good. It takes, here it comes, work. It feels awkward and unsteady at first because we spent so many years believing that those old habits were normal. Are you ready? That's exactly what Satan wants you to believe. Walking in this, feeling this, this is normal. Listen, there's some things that our human flesh, our human desire craves. Because we're human. And we're born into sin. But those things actually push against the very thing that God created our spirit to crave. And so there's this war that's constantly going on within us. I want to do this. Oh, but I need to do this. Galatians 5, verses 16 through 26. Are you ready? Ooh, this is hard. So I say, this is Paul talking to the church in Galatia. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature. Can't you feel the pull right here? Like, right? These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. You know why? Because everything necessary in the law of Moses was fulfilled by the death of our perfect Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay? When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Doesn't that sound fun? Oh, let me tell you. I'm sorry. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. And listen, he's not talking about, like, salvation and heaven here. He's not, because we know everything needed to get to heaven was accomplished on the cross, okay? So he's not talking about, like, listen, if you're struggling with these kind of things, you're not going to heaven. He's saying, listen, if you're struggling with this kind of stuff and you keep going back, you are not working to build my kingdom here on earth. You're not bringing anyone with you, is what he's saying. Okay? All right. So, that's the flesh. Next. Huh? But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Try to find one. Try to find a law that would speak out against love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed, here's where it gets hard, have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. The longer we spend living in a particular way, doing particular things, the more normal it feels. Whether that is our choice or because of how we were raised. Okay? The way we are learning does not feel normal. And it often leads to this battle that we just read about. I'm going to tell you a quick personal story here. I had my own battle with control. I named her self-reliance. Okay? And this is what it looked like for me. So this was my battle. Is that I can do everything. I don't need to depend on anyone because they might let me down. Also, if I do everything and am everything for everyone, I prove how valuable I am to have around, and my worth is validated. Then I'm wanted. Okay? And so, anytime I felt like I was in danger of being let down by someone, or I was in danger of not being wanted by someone, let me tell you, self-reliance kicked me into gear and got me working. And I lived that way from the age of 14 to 36. That's a long time. Right? And as I started to learn about soul wounds and how God wants to bring healing to areas in my life where I learned lies, if this sounds like, ooh, I want to learn how to do that, good. I'll see you on March 3rd and 4th for soul care. Right? Soul care. Uh-huh. As I started walking through that journey, I learned that control was not my friend. Self-reliance was not my friend. And so I went through a journey of forgiving people and learning a new way that Jesus gave me. But that didn't feel normal. And so there came to this point where my sister and my mom and I were planning a girls' trip at the coast. And we needed a room, a hotel room. Book hotel rooms. Jason is the traveler, and he has all these big tricks on how to get like the best hotel rooms for cheap. Okay? And I had said, hey, listen, we're going these dates. We need a room. I got it. I gave him like 8 weeks notice. Okay? We're like 4 weeks out, and my sister's like, hey, do we have a hotel room? I'm like, no, not yet. He hasn't done it. She's like, well, do I need to? I'm like, no, he'll do it. And I ask him, Jason, have you done this? Yeah, I'm going to. It's not quite time yet. I know what I'm doing. You need to trust me. Okay. We're like a little over 2 weeks out, and he hasn't got us a room yet. He's working on it. These are my kids and on the front row, in case you don't know. Okay? He's working on it. I'm watching it. Waiting for a good deal. Okay? I, inside, am panicking, like, he's going to let me down. And not only me, but now my mom and my sister are on the line, too. How hard could it possibly be to use Priceline to find a hotel? I'm sure I can do this on my own. I'm going to do this. And so in my wealth of knowledge, I go on Priceline to think I know what I'm doing, and I get us a room for the grand deal of $189 a night. That's pretty great on the Oregon coast, ocean view. Jason, I tell Jason, like, what I did, and he's like, well, what did you get? And I said, oh, it's called, I don't remember even the name of it. He would remember. I'm telling you, if he was here, he'd be like, oh, I know what hotel that was. I don't remember. I know it was in Depot Bay. That's all I remember. I tell him, and he's like, Paula, do you know what that is? He pulls up the hotel. You guys, I know there was probably cockroaches in that hotel when he pulled up the pictures. And I said, oh, my gosh, can you fix it? And he goes, no. Once, like, that's how Priceline works. Once it's done, it's done. I'm like, oh, no. Jason, I'm sorry. I didn't trust you. Okay, listen, Jason could have, this is what he could have done. He could have said, I guess you won't do that again. And make me stay with my mom and sister in some nasty, listen, I'm kind of a snob when it comes to hotel room. I won't just stay anywhere, okay? It doesn't have to be luxury, but it needs to be clean. Clean! And if I walk into a hotel room and it has like those 80s like comforters that are like nylon, I'm turning my butt around and walking right back out. I'm sure that's what this place was, okay? And Jason could have been like, serves you right. Sit in that for a while. I bet you'll never do that again. But Jason, much like Jesus, said, it's okay. We'll just eat it. I'll find you a good room. And in that moment, like, Father God talked to me. He's like, hey, that's what happens when you go back. That old protector of self-reliance isn't going to make you feel good anymore. It's going to bite you. It's going to bring you down. And I looked at Jason. And this is, guys, do you want to know how you fight control in your lives? It's called Humility. You don't want to partner with control anymore? Good. Partner with humility. I looked at Jason square in the face and I said, Jason, I am so sorry that I didn't trust you. You have never let us down when it comes to this. And I'm sorry I stepped in. It was okay. That's fine. Just because you momentarily return doesn't mean you have to stay. You don't have to stay there. Just start walking again. Just start walking again. Lie number three. Sorry. I'm so sorry. Okay? If God wanted me to keep going this way, it would be easier. If God wanted me to keep going this way, he'd make it easier. Moving forward and growing in knowledge and character of God will never be easy. We are flesh. And our flesh has had a sin nature since Adam and Eve chose to disobey God 6,000 some odd years ago. We've been born into a sinful nature. It's never going to just come easy. to follow Jesus and do what he asks us to do and do things differently. This is the exact reason why the life group that I have this month, this year, this quarter, whatever, is called, where are we? It's called Do Hard Things. Because it's not easy. He calls us to do hard things. Go back to that verse in Galatians 5, where it says, our flesh longs and craves for this. Go to the one previous to that, the bad one, the bad part of this verse, Casey. Okay? When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the nature we were born into, the results are very clear. Here they are. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, and okay. That's what we're born into. That's normal. Right? But when Jesus was on earth teaching, these were his words. You can't get mad at me because this is Jesus. I'm going to take a drink. Matthew 16, 24 to 25. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. I want to read this same verse in the Passion Translation. Here's what it says in the Passion Translation. Jesus said to his disciples, if you truly want to follow me, you should at once completely reject and disown your own life. And you must be willing to share my cross and experience it as your own as you continually surrender to my ways. For if you choose self-sacrifice and lose your lives for my glory, you will continually discover true life. But if you choose to keep your lives for yourselves, you will forfeit what you keep. It's really easy to give in to the desires of myself. That's easy. I can talk myself into a lot of things I shouldn't do. Oh, it's just this once. It's not going to hurt anything. It's just one piece of cake. It's just one helping of potato chips. I don't know if you know, like, that's my battle. That's my battle. Mm-hmm. I think about those kind of things, cake and chips. It's hard to beat down my own ideas and opinions, and surrender control. This is too hard. Okay, you ready? This is too hard. Well, how hard do you think it was to be nailed to a cross after doing absolutely nothing wrong? That was pretty hard. I'm not strong enough. I'm not strong enough for this. Good, because that's right when God works best. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Something was going on with Paul. I don't know what it was. Something was going on with him that he struggled with. He had an internal struggle with. And this is what he said. He's talking to the Corinthian churches, and he said, 3 times I begged the Lord to take it away. Just take it away, because that's easy. Each time, he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now, I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. When I recognize I can't do this by myself, good. Then Jesus is like, you're right, you can't. But I'm going to help you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm not going to take it away. I'm not taking it away. Because if I just take it away, then it's easy. That's not what he called us to do. It's hard. But it's worth it. But it's worth it. I have been living for Jesus since I was 8 years old. It has been a piece of cake. No problems since I was 8 years old. Everything that comes my way, I'm like, yeah, this is too hard. He's like, okay, I'll take that away for you. No, it isn't. Listen, I have messed up. I have given in to a lot of those things that are listed in Galatians 5. And you know what? It's okay. Because he says, listen, I'm going to walk with you. You don't have to go back. It's okay to remember. Yeah, you struggled. Those are hard. But you don't have to go back. And if you do, it's okay. Let's move forward again. Let's not stay there. I'm so done. I'm going back. Is a lie from the pit of hell that wants to keep you right where you've always